Congratulations. Amen. I want to appreciate God this evening and also appreciate God's servant and resident pastor for the privilege extended towards me this evening to bring God's word to God's people. I strongly believe that the same grace that is operating in your life, sir, that grace will have expression in my life this evening, and we shall all be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of Jesus. Our theme of the month of August is, I will restore health unto you. I will restore health unto you. And a teaching series since the beginning of the month for our midweek communion services has been Meet Jesus, the Great Physician, and His Great Prescription. Meet Jesus, the Great Physician, and His Great Prescriptions. We have established so far that Jesus Christ heals and delivers today as He did in Bible days. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we are told there that He went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and He was healing all that were oppressed, all that were sick. They brought to Him, and He healed all of them. And we know in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means what He did in the past is what He is still doing today, and is what He will do tomorrow. He never changes. When you apply for a job, they want to see your resume. They are trying to figure out what you will do next, because what you did in the past, they can project what you will do in the future. Praise the name of Jesus. We have also established the fact that He still goes about healing everyone that is oppressed of the devil. In Matthew 8:16, we're told there that when evil was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. Every single one of them that came to Him, He healed them. Jesus' main mission on the earth was to undo what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. It was to reconnect God, to reconnect man back to God, and undo all the things that Satan has done in the life of man. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, we are told, they said that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. So His main aim is to destroy the work of the devil. And sickness and disease is one of Satan's capital weapon that he uses to cripple people down. And Jesus is here to destroy that work in Jesus' name. Praise the name of Jesus. We also establish the fact that He still heals today, either instantly or He can do it in the process of recovery. We see in the life of that leper, one touch, the man was healed. In Matthew chapter 8, from verse 1 to verse 4, the leper was healed. But when it came to the blind man, he needed a second touch. The first touch, the man said, I see men, but they are walking around like trees. And Jesus had to touch him again the second time for him to receive his full sight. That is in Mark chapter 8, from verse 22 to verse 24. So the lesson is this: no matter how God wants to heal you, we should yield to Him. Don't have a preconceived notion of how you want Him to do it. Don't be like Naaman. Naaman came to Elisha with a preconceived mindset that the man of God was going to heal me this way. When it didn't happen that way, the man was enraged. He went back and said, no, you can take your healing. Thank God for the servant that advised him to go and do what he was told. He said, I thought he would come and wave his hand all over the place and call on his God and recover the leper. But that was not how God wanted to heal him. So whichever way God chooses, you just yield to Him and He will heal you in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of Jesus. We have been looking at this teaching series since the beginning of the month, and we are going to be looking at the part 7 of Meet with Jesus, the Great Physician, and His Great Prescription. Meet with Jesus, the Great Physician, and His Great Prescription. Jesus Christ is a great physician that delivers from all oppressions of the devil. All oppressions of the devil, not some. There is no oppression too big for Him. There is no case that was brought to Jesus that He referred to somebody else. No, He is the final bus stop. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we are told, they say, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of a devil, for God was with him. All that were oppressed of a devil. In Luke chapter 4, verse 39, we see that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. He touched her, and recovered the fever, and she was recovered. And then she ministered to them immediately. And you go to Mark chapter 9, if you read from verse 25 to verse 27, another kind of sickness, the dumb and deaf spirit that was oppressing a little guy, that spirit was cast out, and the little guy was recovered. Praise the name of Jesus. And if you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 36 to verse 43, we see there that he also rebuked an unclean spirit that has been harassing somebody. And when he did that, that recovery also took place. So my point is, there is no disease, there is no sickness. No matter what the name they call it, the doctor might say, oh, this one is great. But with the great physician, every disease is disease to him. The same way he heals headache, that's the same way he will heal cancer. Don't magnify the disease. Don't let the devil make you believe that, oh, this is so big, God cannot take care of this. There is no such thing that God cannot take care of. Praise the name of Jesus. Trivialize that sickness and you will see the hand of God moving swiftly. Praise the name of Jesus. Regardless of the name of a disease, all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases were brought to him. They bowed to the authority of Jesus. And I see that, amen, bowing to the authority of Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The great prescription is the balm in Gilead. The balm in Gilead is a great prescription that we have been looking at since the beginning of the month. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 to verse 22, it says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the heart of the daughter of my people am I hot. I am black. Astonishment had taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? There is a balm in Gilead. The balm is always there and always effective. But whether you apply it or not, that is where the hiccup is. Praise the name of Jesus. There is power supply in this house right now. But if you turn off the switch, everywhere will become black. Everywhere become dark. That doesn't mean that there's no power supply. There is power supply. Somebody has refused to engage the power supply. But that will not be you in Jesus' name. We will engage the balm in Gilead. And as we engage him, we will see every form of sickness, any form of harassment of a devil in our lives will be taken out in Jesus' mighty name. We have looked at the various wonders in this balm. We have looked at the wonders in the healing wonders in faith. At the beginning of the month, we have looked at the healing wonder in prophetic mantle. We have also looked at the healing wonder in the Passover blood and the healing wonder in feet washing. We have also looked at the healing wonder in the testimony of others. Today, we are going to be looking at the healing wonders in joy and rejoicing. The healing wonders in joy and rejoicing. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. A broken spirit dryeth the bones. For anyone to become sick physically, they first must become sick spiritually. There is a spirit behind every sickness. That is why if the spirit realm is not dealt with, whatever you do in the physical realm will just be temporary because the root has not been taken care of. Praise the name of Jesus. That's why in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because the joy that you have when you are joyful, when your spirit is happy, it begins to heal every part of your body, because the merry heart produces healing. The merry heart produces medicine, and that medicine will produce healing for you in Jesus' mighty name. Why must we be joyful? Why must we keep rejoicing? Why must we be joyful? Number one, joy and rejoicing facilitates access to the path of life, which is basically revelation, and that will result in healing, deliverance, and freedom. In Psalm 16, verse 11, we are told that he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Joy will release access to revelation. And what you know is what determines your placement on the face of the earth. Your understanding, when that understanding blossoms and then that translates into wisdom, and when that is the application of that understanding, that's what determines your placement. That's what determines how you tap into the healing virtue in the healing balm. Praise the name of Jesus. Joy will deliver to us the revelation that we need. Because you can't go to God's presence frownful. Because when you frown your face, when you're angry, you go to God's presence, he will not reveal anything to you. But with joy, as you enter into his presence, that revelation will happen in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. In Job chapter 33, if you read from verse 21 to verse 23, for the sake of time, I'll just jump across. In verse 21, it says, "His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. He said, yea, his soul draweth nigh unto the grave, his life to the destroyer." In verse 23, he says, "If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And then his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth." So how did that happen? Through revelation. One among a thousand to show him the way out of his predicament. Praise the name of Jesus. That's why in John chapter 8 verse 32, we are told there that ye shall know the truth, and that truth that you know will result in freedom. That truth that you know will result in freedom. But for you to assess that truth, we need to be in his presence. We need to be able to connect to God. And to make that connection, you must have joy. In Psalm 100 verse 4, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." To have access, you must have gratitude in your heart. You must be thankful to God. When you are thankful to God, then you have access. And that access, he will show you what you need to do to be free. Praise the name of Jesus. Why must we be joyful? Why must we rejoice? Joy enhances our access to the presence of God that keeps our enemies at bay. When God is with you, no enemy can successfully waylay you. When God is with you, no enemy can successfully dethrone you. No enemy can successfully deal with you. Praise the name of Jesus. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, if you read from verse 18 going, I'll read verse 18 and then go to verse 20 to verse 24. It says, "So David fled." This is a time when David was running away from Saul. Saul has covenanted with himself that he must take out David because the 17-year-old has taken over his fame in the land. He wanted to take him out. Now David is on the run. He says, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth." And if you go to verse 20, he says, "And Saul sent messengers to David to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also began to prophesy." He sent the first group, they got there, God knocked them out, they started prophesying. He sent the second group, the same thing happened. He sent the third group, the same thing happened. Then he went himself. And God knocked him out, and he was prophesying. He even took it to the next level. He became naked, stark naked. Because when God is dealing with your enemies, he does it in his own way. He actually gave to Saul and his messengers the spirit of stupor. So they didn't know when David left. They didn't know what happened. They were just prophesying. That is how God will protect you from your enemies in Jesus' mighty name. Confusion will be in their camp. They will plan, but that plan will be disrupted because they won't know what they are doing anymore. In the name of Jesus. That is why Colossians chapter 3 verse 3 tells us that it says, "For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." So when you are in God's presence, your life is hid with Christ. And you are inside God. It's like the egg. You see the white, the eggshell. Then the white is covering the yolk. So you are actually the yolk. And the white stuff that covers the yolk is Jesus. And then God the Father is now the shell. For you to be assessed, when you are in his presence, you have to go through God. You have to go through Jesus before they can assess you. And that is impossible. Praise the name of Jesus. That is why his presence, carrying his presence, is so important that we cannot take it with levity. That's why we must be very careful not to become joyless, because once joy departs, God leaves. You know what will happen? Nature harbors vacuum. So when joy leaves and God leaves, the other guy will come in. Praise the name of Jesus. But that will not be you in Jesus' mighty name. Why must we be joyful? Why must we continue to rejoice? Because it takes joy and rejoicing to possess our possession. And that includes the heritage of healing, health, and wholeness. It takes joy and rejoicing to possess our possession, which includes our heritage of healing, health, and wholeness. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, it says that, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." For you to access the wells of salvation, for you to access the book, you must be joyful. You can't come to God angry at him, and yet you want him to give you directions. He won't do it. I don't know how many of you will be very pleased to attend to someone who wants favor from you, and they come with a frown face, and they are angry, and they are asking you. You'll be like, "Am I really owing this person?" You won't see any. If you are so nice, you are so spirit-filled, you'll give them the favor. But when they leave, you'll be like, "What's wrong with this guy?" You can't go to God angry. You can't go to God without having joy in your heart. You must have joy to be able to access the healing virtues. Praise the name of Jesus. Everything trembles at the presence of the Lord, including sickness and diseases. That is why we must endeavor to carry his presence. Psalm 22 verse 3, he says there that God is holy and he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of you and I. He inhabits the praises of winners. As we praise him, he comes to rest among us. As you celebrate him from your heart, he comes to indwell with you. And as he tabernacles with you, look at what happens in Psalm 114. From verse 1 to verse 9. For the sake of time, I'll read from verse 3. Now, he said, Israel, God was tabernacling with Israel. Look at what happened. He said, "The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back." In verse 3 of that scripture, "Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fledest? Thou Jordan, that was driven back. Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs." What was ailing them was the presence of God. When God appears, everything must line up. When God appears, the environment is sanitized. And when God is sanitizing your environment, it will remove everything that is contrary to godliness in your environment. And that includes sicknesses and diseases. It will sanitize the whole place. Praise the name of Jesus. We must also understand that it takes joy to get out of the valley to our high places in life. You want to leave that situation, you must become joyful. In Habakkuk chapter 3, from verse 17 to verse 19, we are told there that, "Say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, The labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stores. This is a complete hopeless situation. But he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And once that happens, the Lord becomes my strength. Then he will now make my feet like hands feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places in life. When you praise the Lord, when you appreciate God, even in that situation, God will give you an access for you to be able to withstand and move to the next level. When you reject your helper, who will help you? When you are angry at God, God is not the reason for any situation that you might find yourself. The devil is always the one that is sowing tears in people's lives. So don't be angry with God. Don't blame him for anything. Don't blame him for anything. And as you celebrate him, it will take you to your next level in life in Jesus' mighty name. The fact that you are even part of God's people is a blessing. Do you know that in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, it says the Lord had made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. The fact that you are a child of God is a blessing, and you should celebrate him for that. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, very quickly, as a roundup, let's look at some enemies of joy that we must avoid. The enemies of joy that we must avoid. The first one is taking offense in God. Becoming offended in God. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, we see there that Jesus said, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. This was John the Baptist coming to him and saying, are you the one we are expecting, or should we expect somebody else, when he was going through his hardship in the prison? And Jesus made this statement, don't be offended in God. God is not your problem. When you are offended in your helper, who will help you? And offense will always come. In John chapter 17, verse 1, in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, sorry, it says that offense will always come. There will always be offense. But don't let that offense get to a point where you become offended in God. Don't be offended. No matter what's going on around your life, no matter what you are going through, God is not the source. Praise the name of Jesus. Number two is questioning God. When you start asking questions and say, why am I in this situation? Why am I in this situation? What is going on? You start blaming him. And as you do that, God takes his hand off. And when God takes his hand off, the enemy will swim in. But that will not be you in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. You can never be angry at God. Another thing that causes joy to disappear from us is when we become downcast. We have a defeat mentality, defeat mindset. That's why David in Psalm 42, verse 5 and verse 11, he says, oh my soul, why are you downcast? Don't be downcast. Rise up. Rise up and hope in God. Praise the name of Jesus. Another thing that can take joy away from us is murmuring and complaining. We know what happens when we start murmuring. You start complaining. You are looking at all the things that God has done wrong. You are saying, God is unjust. I don't belong here. I'm supposed to be somewhere else. Look at where I am. And you forgot that same place you are complaining about was at a point your prayer point. Praise the name of Jesus. But that will not be you in Jesus' mighty name. We have heard a lot of things this evening. You are here, you do not know the Lord. This will not apply to you. You want to give your life to Christ this evening. Say, Lord, I want to partake of this prescription. Before you can partake of the prescription, you have to accept the great physician. You want to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life this evening. Peradventure, you gave your life at some point and you went back and you want to return to him. You can say this prayer as quickly with me. Online and on ground. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner. I know you died for me on the cross of Calvary. On the third day you rose again for my justification. Father, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Wash away my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You pray that prayer on ground. Raise up your hand and the ministers will minister to you. If you said that online, send us a text, call us, and we'll be praying with you to make sure that your salvation is established. Praise the name of Jesus. You've been blessed this evening. Rise up, put your hands together for the Lord.